You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
One of my favorite passages. There's so much to preach out of this.
One of my favorite things.
You shall know that the Lord is God.
The angel said to her,
but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
My two favorite stories in all of the Bible are the golden calf and the story of the spies.
And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Greatest hit.
One of my favorite stories.
The greatest hit.
Oh, man.
How's everybody?
Good.
Okay?
Great.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. No Deuteronomy this week, so... Sadness. And great sadness fell over the people of God. All right, well, we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 11. Hear this reading from the Word of God this morning. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Well, you know, technological innovations have changed things over time, yes? The wheel... pretty big deal. It got you here this morning. I mean, some of you might have walked. Good on you. But the wheel changed things. You could go longer distances. You could haul stuff, a lot of stuff if you wanted to. Think about technological innovations like gunpowder changed things. The astrolabe, how to navigate the world. The printing press, all of a sudden it put information in the hands of common people. Not just those with great wealth who could pay for scribes to copy texts and so on and so forth. I think about computers and how those have changed over time. When I was in third grade, we had one computer in the classroom, and it was pretty much used to make banners for people's birthdays. Yes? Or there was this game that supposedly taught you how to spell, but you knew that getting to play was just better than listening to the teacher for a few minutes. And then, but a couple of years later, all of a sudden, there was an entire laboratory or classroom filled with computers, and now you had to learn how to type and navigate an operating system and all these kinds of things. Fascinating. It went from computers were a room to it sat in a box on your desk. And for a while, it took forever for the computer to do things, and then all of a sudden, the chips got faster, which was really great. And then they put the computer in a device that went everywhere with you. And now you can access everything, yes? You can order a pizza, which is fantastic. You can check out your bank statements. You can communicate on video with somebody on the other side of the world. You can find out any piece of news from any corner of the world that you want. The cell phone or smartphone, I should say, has radically changed things. We have all kinds of technological innovations that do such things, like the clapper. Who doesn't need one of those? Or this year's great innovation, the pickle picker. You didn't know that you needed one. Sorry. But of all the innovations, there was one developed around the year 7500 BC. So ancient civilization, a powerful innovation, powerful technological innovation that changed the course of human history, the brick. Now, you might not look at a brick as being technology, but I guarantee you it is, because the brick allowed people to dwell in the same place. It allowed them to have shelter from the elements. It allowed them to fortify their cities to prevent invaders from coming. And so it's with bricks and the independence and great technology they bring that we really dive into our scripture today, because in the beginning, and if you were to look at Genesis 1 and 2, there's no bricks, yes? There's no bricks, there's just a garden. And the people are there in the garden, and God is with them, and God's desire is that we would depend on Him, rely on Him, desire nothing but what He brings. That's what life is all about. There's no bricks, there's no construction crews in the Garden of Eden. There's no houses. You don't get a better piece of real estate than somebody else. It's just simply God's provision, and it's all there. And there's no thunderstorms to be sheltered from, because what we're told is that in the very beginning, there's an underground sprinkling system. So it's fantastic. There are no bricks. There's no real estate to get jealous about. And what God's desire is for us to desire Him and depend on Him for everything. And the problem is people wanted independence. God, we don't need You. We'll figure it out on our own. And so that decision, it moves them a little bit from the garden. It moves them east of Eden, and they have two sons. One's name is Abel, and he's a whole lot like the stuff of creation 1.0. He's a shepherd, and so he goes everywhere, depends on God for everything. His desire is that God would provide, and so he makes sacrifices to God because of that. And Abel has a brother named Cain. Now, Cain lives in one place. He's a farmer. Probably has a home made of bricks. And so he gives God part of his crops, but really his desire is for independence. I want to be self-sustaining. And so what happens? Cain kills his brother Abel, and in time, Adam and Eve conceive and they have another son. And in Genesis chapter 4, we read that creation has gotten a little bit further east of Eden, because we read for the first time this fascinating new word. The word is city. A city has been built, of course, of all kinds of different bricks. Shelter, independence, community, all the things that God provided in the garden, now people are starting to manufacture it for themselves. And that's sort of what we do, isn't it? What are we told from a young age? Study hard, work hard, get a good job to provide for yourselves. Some of you are like, well, that doesn't sound bad. It's not bad. But isn't it fascinating how the original intent of full desire and dependence upon God has become a situation of independence and the ability to provide for oneself? And the struggle with that is it takes a whole lot of power, a whole lot of wealth and resources and wisdom and know-how along the way to do such a thing. So in time, what Scripture tells us is that we started in a garden in Eden where everything was dependent upon God and the people were called to desire God. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 11, which is a far ways east of Eden, we're in a place called Shinar. And just to help you out a little bit, the land of Shinar is the land of Babylon. And what we read about there in Shinar or in Babylon is that people have decided to utilize this wonderful new technology that's hitting the ancient world. We're going to bake bricks thoroughly. And notice what the scripture says to us this morning. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And so people start building. That's the worst thing they decided to do. They got together and they built something. It was like a Saturday meeting at Lowe's. You know, we're going to build something today. You got a plan? Nope. We're going to build it, though. You got the tools? Nope. Guys, how many times have you done that? 15 trips to Lowe's that day, right? You forgot to use the one technological innovation that would have saved you a whole lot of pain and suffering. The phone to call someone. But let's build this thing. Let's do this. Let's build a tower into the heavens so we can make our name great. And perhaps the issue isn't so much what they built, but the desire from which they built. We want to be great. We're going to show God how great we really are. And in many ways, the tower, if you'll forgive the rather obscene comment I'm about to make, the tower is just kind of like a finger into the heavens. We don't need you, God. We're just fine here on our own. You know, the desires of your heart will usually lead to the destination for your life. Truth? Jesus said it, didn't he? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. The desires of your heart will usually lead to the destination of your life. And a life without God, a life independent and self-reliant, man, it takes a lot of wisdom and effort and energy and resources to do that. And the results, the destination is usually never good. In fact, you look at the story of Adam and Eve. They desire to be independent. God, we don't need you. How does it end? Death. Cain and Abel. Cain desires to have God's blessing, but he'd rather do it on his own. How does it end for Cain? Death. The days of Noah or before Noah, everybody wants to do whatever they want, whenever they want, independent of God. We don't want to hear it from you. What's the result? Death. After the days of the flood, Noah decides to go out and get drunk. What does it result in? Not death, nakedness, but it might as well be death. The desires of your heart will lead to the destination of your life, and when it's a life that's independent of God, it never works out well. And so the people have gotten further east of Eden, further from the plan and purposes of God. They use this technology, this brick, to build a tower high into the heavens to make a great name for ourselves so we can post about it on Instagram. And God says, really? Well, let's see how that goes. You want to make a name for yourself? You want to be great? You think this is your creation? Well, we'll just have to see about that. God's plan has always been about dependence and trust. I think our plan has become one of independence and a new technology that will help us get there. Don't believe me? Consider an article written by Forbes magazine not long ago. They were debating the merits of artificial intelligence. Is it a little scary thinking that all of this stuff is out there now? And so what they claim, the writer of the article in Forbes claims, he actually raises a moral or ethical question. And the question that's raised is this: if it's possible to take the consciousness and memories of human beings and load them into a computer chip, which in many respects makes human consciousness eternal, albeit in a technological kind of form, is that necessarily a good thing? The writer of Forbes presses the issue, perhaps it's not. You know, it's fascinating. We think this story of the Tower of Babel from Genesis chapter 11 is from a story long ago in a galaxy far, far away, and yet what the writer of Forbes really shows us is this, that we've been building with bricks for a long time. It's just a different kind of brick. The world has changed, but it's very much the same. Take a look at downtown Lexington. It's a beautiful city. There's all kinds of great buildings into the skies, full of all sorts of things that will provide for you every single thing you could ever possibly want or need to make you independent and wise. Huge buildings, real estate, and retail restaurants, and communication that's available everywhere. It's fascinating to see what's happened with that, isn't it? It wasn't long ago we had the Pony Express. Seriously, what, 175, 180 years ago, we had the Pony Express. It was a revolution of technology, and then not long after that, we had the telegraph, which became more immediate, and then the telephone, and after the telephone, not long thereafter, we had the computer, and after the computer, well, then all of a sudden, we have the smartphone, and after the smartphone came social media. And after social media, we have this new platform where you can text messages and they disappear in 15 seconds, called Snapchat. What fascinates me is we are as close as we have ever been, and yet we're as scattered as we've ever been. You can connect with somebody literally with the push of a button, And yet the ability to gather people from a variety of different places and gather them in a room and have them get along for more than 2 hours, ooh. True? What's happened? Well, the same thing as in Babel or Babel. We're connected and yet disconnected. And perhaps a lot of it has to do with our use of independence or human freedom, we might say. In fact, what 1 Peter 2 tells us is that we're called to live as a people who are free, but to not use our freedom as a cover-up for evil. Instead, we're called to live as servants of God. You see, the greatest expression of human freedom on this Independence Day week is this. It's not freedom to choose, friends. Our greatest freedom is not freedom to choose, it's freedom from sin and death. It's the ability to depend, to rely fully on God rather than ourselves or our own wisdom or the towers that we build to get us there. That's why God comes down, because we can't do it without him. In fact, you really see the gospel in Genesis chapter 11. I love this part of the passage. It strikes me as a parent reading it. Behold, they are one people. They all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Have you ever said that? This is only the beginning. We're going to put this in their hands. Woo! Sarah Margaret started driving. It's hard for me. This is only the beginning, and nothing they propose to do now will be impossible for them. And so what does God say? Come, let us go. Let's go down. Let's get involved. Let's descend. Let's get engaged. This is the very purpose for which the Son of God became a flesh and blood, living, breathing, dying, rising again human being. We made a mess, and so he got involved. Let's go down and let's make a bigger mess. Let's confuse their language. They think they're in charge. We're going to show them. This isn't their creation. It's my creation. Let me help you in your prayer life. If you're praying, our world, stop. This isn't our world. This is God's world. God made it. We get to be part of it. And God won't be mocked. All right, you want to build a tower? Right on you. Let's go down there and let's disperse the kids. And so something fascinating happens throughout the rest of the Old Testament. It's a people who are consumed with bricks. Think about this now. It starts in a garden, yes. And the people desire to be independent of God, so it moves east. And then it ends up being two sons, and one kills the other, and it moves a little further east, and it becomes a city. And now, before you know it, you get to Genesis chapter 11, and they're building huge towers into the heavens, and so God disperses them over the face of the entire earth. Quit making the bricks, but what happens in the book of Exodus? What are the people of God doing again? Making bricks for somebody else's real estate empire. So what does God do? He comes down, quite literally, on Mount Sinai and says, I'm going to claim you as my people. You guys are a train wreck, but I'm in. Like, where do I sign up? I'll get in a tent during the day, and we're going to go with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. It's going to be epic. And so God rescues them and brings them into the promised land. And what's one of the things that they do? They build a temple made of... And how do they build the temple? With slavery, with forced labor, and the temple becomes an idol, and so it keeps moving further east from Eden, and what happens in the end? But the Babylonians, the land of Shinar, they come, they destroy the temple to the ground, and they take them back to the very land from which God has saved them. Man, you'd think we would get it together, yes? But we spend so much of our life making bricks because we got to be busy. When somebody's sick, what do? We boil water. We make bricks. That's what we got to do. What is it that God really wants? You know, the scripture, it ends like this. The Lord dispersed them from over all the face of the earth. They left building the city. The name of the place was called Babel or Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. In Akkadian, the Babylonian language, Babel or Babel means the gate of God. And in Hebrew, it means confused. I think it begs a question of us today. Which language are you speaking? How often do we think we're building a life at the gate of God, when in the end, really, we're just horribly confused? The scriptures say, unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers labor in vain. And I think it's for a profound reason, because at the heart of this passage from Genesis chapter 11 is a question which is posed to us. Why do we spend so much of our lives desiring the wrong things only to end up in the wrong destinations? What are you spending your life building lately, friends? Because you can build a lot of things. What are you spending your life building? And some of you are saying right now, well, look, man, I already did it. I already climbed the hill. I'm retired. Let me help you. If you're breathing, if your heart is beating, there's still more for you to build. There's no more retirement in the kingdom life. There's a prayer to be prayed, a soul to be won, an invitation to be made, a neighbor to be served, scripture to be studied, a life that's eternal to be prepared for. There's no retirement. When I retire someday, I'm going to go find some young puke just like me and take him to lunch about every 3 weeks and just say, hey, how's it going? Every once in a while, I might throw a nugget of wisdom that'll go, oh my gosh, the old man's crazier than last time. But I'm not going to retire. There's still something to be done, no matter what age or stage of life that you're in, because we can spend so much of our lives desiring the wrong things, whether it's stuff or independence or just to be left alone, and we end up in all the wrong destinations of life. And I guess that's what you've taught me, for which I'm profoundly grateful. If I've learned one thing over the last 2 years, it's this. I spent the first 20 years of being a pastor far too engaged in building an institution and not enough engaged in changing the lives of people. And I think Jesus knew this was going to be the danger. It's why he said this temple, there's going to come a time where not one brick is going to be left on top of another. It's going to be gone. But you destroy this temple, you destroy this body where the Spirit of the living God dwells, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And there's a stark contrast between the two. We can spend our lives building things that will break or die or be ruined in storms, or we can spend our lives investing in people which are eternal. That's the lesson. There will come a day, friends, when this beautiful building that exists on the corner of Alumni at New Circle Road, there will come a day where this building is no longer here. I guarantee you. But I am looking forward to the great and glorious day in which all of the people who are part of this community and the kingdom of God will be together for all of eternity. Amen. What are you spending your life building? You have a chance to invest in people every day. Invest heavily and build the kingdom there. Because the rest, it's all just bricks. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. This is your creation. We just get to be part of it, and we're grateful for this today. And we realize that there are moments and places and stages in our lives where we're just making bricks, and we think it's important. We think it's life-changing. And yet the problem is we miss the people along the way. That's where the life is. So forgive us, we pray. Forgive me for investing in building the wrong things sometimes. And Lord, we realize what's eternal are the people that you've created in your image, the people you long to redeem, the people you desire to spend all of eternity with. Forgive us for choosing an independence over you. Change the desires of our heart, we pray. Fill us, your church, with your Spirit, that we would love what you love, that we would invite the lost and the least into the kingdom, and that the world might be changed, not to our glory or to our greatness so we can post about it on Instagram, but to your glory, the glory of the one who was and is to come. We make our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.